Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. O God of my salvation, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Because of my enemies, do not give up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Tamara, and thank you for the worship team and Steve for leading us this morning. It is indeed a privilege for me to be here in front of you this morning. As Steve indicated, I've been here for almost 25 years, since 1990. So I have been traveling with you along this journey. This message this morning is more about sharing a little bit of that experience with you and some of the things I've learned along the way. It is not only about my journey, it is also about the journeys of others. It's also about witnessing. It's also about giving a testimony. And here I think particularly of my mom, Gladys, and my dad, Christian, who've now passed away, and they belong to that crowd of witnesses. This morning I want not only to challenge you, but also to encourage you. To encourage you to seeking God's face. I want to share that message with you this morning because I think for us as Christians, this is the most important activity that we could be involved in. As I carry with this message, I want to also stress the point that I haven't arrived because it's a long journey. And I believe that this journey will only end when I come face to face to God. So part of this journey is about sharing some things that are very personal with you. And maybe at the end of this little message, that maybe there are some things that you could take along and carry forward. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning, for the privilege of sharing your word, and for sharing what you put on my heart. I ask, Lord, that you would take my voice and that you would work through me this morning just to communicate this message. Amen. Though we are speaking from Psalm 27, like Beth being a teacher, I think we get really struck and stuck on words. So I just want to, we could take every single verse of this psalm and break into pieces and kind of take it along and run with it for a long time. But this morning, what I would like to do is really to talk about two verses of the psalm. It's verse 4 and verse 8 that I would read again. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And then, verse 8, come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. These are the two verses I would like to kind of focus on this morning. When Pastor Allen asked me to speak a couple of months ago, I recall a conversation I had with my sister early one morning when I was just chatting with her, and here we take into account the time difference between here and Mauritius. And I was just chatting with her, and I inquired about how she was doing, about how her husband was doing. And I remember these words very vividly that morning. I said, you know, where's your husband? And her response was, oh, he's not here. He left early this morning. And I said, where did he go? And he said to me, he went to the park. And I said, what for? And this is what she said to me in French. She said to me, il cherche Dieu. If you understand what these words mean, il cherche Dieu means literally, he went out to see God. He went out to seek God. That really struck with me. Because, you know, I never, I say I pray, but I never really considered this, that somebody would actually go out to seek God. It challenged me. I was really caught off guard. And I felt, in a way, I felt a little bit jealous. I said, really? Someone would take an action. It was really an action that he took. It was really a movement that he did. He went out to see God. And since then, I've said to myself, I need to do this. I really need to do this. And as I looked into the Word, over and over, I uncovered layers and layers of people in the Bible who literally went out to see God. And if we could make, really the Bible is made of these two things. One part is about the people seeking God. Throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you can see verses and verses of people seeking God. And this is about a journey. This is all about a life. And in Chronicles, it talks about seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. In the psalm, the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. It goes on, and in Deuteronomy it says, but if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And again in Psalm 119, I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. And then we hear Job crying, Lord, why did you hide your face? Why did you hide your face from me? And consider me as your enemy. In the New Testament, in Matthew, seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness, and all the other things above will be given unto you. So over and over, we find this in the Word, that God encourages us, challenges us to seek God. Seek his face. What does it mean? What does seek his face mean? So this is what I would like to talk to you a little bit about what it means. Some of the how we can do it, and then maybe some of the results. So this is basically what I want to chat with you a little bit this morning. And again, it is not exhaustive, because you're going to find out the more that you dig into the Word, the more that you seek, the more that you're going to find, and the more that you need to seek. What does it mean to seek His face? Literally, it means to seek His presence. And to be in front of His face, to be before His face, really just means to sit in His presence. Now we can ask ourselves the question, but God is omnipresent. He's here. We know this. He said that He's going to be us till the end. He's always going to be with us, no matter where we are and no matter what we are doing. We know that God is with us. So is that some kind of a paradox? We are asked to seek His presence. We are asked to seek His face, yet we know He's here. So it means that in the midst of what we are doing, we can get caught up in whatever we are doing, whatever project that we are in, and then we forget about Him. So it has to be really a sense for us to create the conditions so that we are in His presence. Though He's here, it is not enough. There is something that is requested of us, that we go out and be in that presence. Because we get caught up. We are involved in projects, in relationships. It's tough, isn't it? It's hard. So whenever we seek out this relationship, whenever we are involved in a new relationship, or in all relationships, whatever they are, it is a commitment of time. Three things I would say. It is about relationship. It is about things that involve a lot of resources, big purchases. And then it is about these activities. Three things I would say, literally, where we need to seek God's presence. It is about relationship, resources, and activities. Because this is what our lives are made of. So in all these big things, we need to ask God to be present in these things. Because if not, these relationships, these purchases where lots of resources are involved, these activities, they are going to drain us. If we do not ask God to be present in these things. I remember a while back, I decided, I was working full-time, and I decided to quit to go to school full-time. It was a big decision for me. And as I've been working with that company for almost 8 years, and as I was struggling with that decision, I remember a lot of my friends asked me, a lot of my colleagues asked me, why are you doing this? Is really stupid. You're going to give up this job and go to school full-time? What would be the result? But as I committed that project to God, I had a sense of peace. I really had a sense of peace that God was going to see me through this project. And then I took on this project, I quit my job, I went full-time, and God was able to meet all my needs, and over and above. It is so, because I was able to commit to the project, and I asked God to be involved in the project, God kind of followed with me and walked with me on it. For seeking after God, it has to be something that is conscious. We are reminded that God asked us, said, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. This is a big commitment. It has to be something that is conscious. We cannot just coast. We cannot just cruise. It won't happen. It has to be very conscious. And it is the very opposite of what mental coasting is about. It is a conscious choice for us to direct our heart towards God. And this is what Paul says. He says, "May the Lord direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfast of Christ." If we do not make this mental and emotional effort to seek God, then we are lost. But mind you, God is not lost. He's not like a sheep. He's not like something that we've lost. But very often he is. Because we are the one who loses him. He's not lost. We are the one who feels like we are losing him. We lose him in the midst of all activities. In everything that we are doing, we kind of put him aside. So this is my encouragement to you this morning. As we start our day, for me this is what works. As I start my day in the thick of things, when I drive on the highway, when I'm at school or when I'm at work, I shouldn't say school because Tyndale is a Christian university, but when I'm at work, I realize that whatever is happening in my world on that day, it seems so opposite, so contrary to what the kingdom of God is all about. The values are so different because in the midst of all that, everyone is focused on the me, on the here, and the now. And then I realize all the sins around me. It is a world that is often nasty. A colleague shared with me recently in the government, and in the government we are encouraged to find new opportunities to learn. And this is what everybody's, you know, it's part of the work ethics in terms of all the managers, all the directors, the union, and this is a policy. And I was struck recently when a colleague said to me, you know what? She shared with me that she had a great assignment. She had this great opportunity that was offered to her. And she said to me, you know what? I've been praying about this. This is what I would like to do. I've been praying about this for a long time. And then she shared with me that when she went up to her manager and explained that this is what she would like to do, her boss said, you know what? You can't do this. I will not recommend that you move forward. And she was really disappointed. And she said to me, and then I realized, you know, in the midst of that world, it is so opposite to what we want. It is so opposite to what God wants. It is very often a world of greed. Recently, I had two friends, one living in Canada and another friend living in France. Both of them had their mom passed away almost exactly at the same time. And I was very struck by the very similarity of their situation. And they said to me when it came to the inheritance, how the siblings were fighting about it. And these are two friends who are very close to me. Yet they shared with me how, in spite of all the wealth, there was so much fighting. And then they shared with me that in the midst of all of that, they had to see God's face just to calm down. So if we do not see God's face, we can get caught up in all of these things. The other thing I would add is that the seeking is ongoing. Past experiences, maybe you've been to either a meeting, a conference, for 3 or 4 days when you've been away, you really feel that you're coming up from a mountaintop. You're so excited about it. And you can remember that this is really a time that God felt so present, so close. But there's no guarantee. For me, in that seeking of God, it has to be ongoing. It has to be, you cannot let up. You cannot just leave it for one moment and say, you know what? I've been there before, I've done that. I know him. This commitment, this type of commitment, this type of seeking is that it has to be done every day. This has been my experience. If I were to step away from it, I lose sight of who God is. I have to renew that commitment every single morning. I have to ask God to be present with me because, like any relationship, it will get cold. How do we do it? Part of it is really in terms of finding his presence. Finding his presence in his word. Again, if we look at the story of David, it really dawned on me how many of these stories of Joseph, of David, of Daniel, of Paul, all these stories, it is all about them seeking God. It is all about, there's this constant pleading, this constant wooing, this constant touching. But it is not only on us part. It is not only us going out there to do this. It is also God trying to woo us every morning, every day, trying to touch us. And we can see this in God's word. For instance, he tells his people, the world reminds us, we're looking at a Bible. It could be a leather Bible. It could be old. But the one thing we know is that word is not silent. There's a lot of parallel between how God speaks. The words from the Bible when it comes alive. Let me read an extract for you from Tozer in The Pursuit of God. And he writes, the Bible is the written word of God. And because it is written, it is confined and limited by the necessities of ink and paper and leather. The voice of God, however, is alive and free as the sovereign God is free. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. They are not just words on paper. They are spirit. They are life. The life is the speaking words. God's word in the Bible can have the power only because it corresponds to God's word in the universe. It is the present voice which makes the written word all-powerful. Otherwise, it would lie locked in slumber within the covers of a book. So we have God's word. But we also realize that we can find God's in others. This morning we are surrounded by a crowd of witnesses. We cannot live our faith in isolation if we are to fully become the men and women that God has called us to be. If really we are to enter into our destiny and to embrace that initial plan that God has for us in our lives. This morning as we come together and worship as a community, this is a big piece. But I would suggest this is not enough. We need more. We need to literally share experience with each other so that we can learn from their journey, and so that they can learn from our journey. And this is a little bit what I'm doing this morning. I'm sharing with you a little bit about this journey. And one, two things I've done in my life is that I've had two or three friends, Christian friends, and I share with them on a weekly basis, and I pray with them on a weekly basis. And for me, that has really helped me. When I feel so discouraged, when I can't pray anymore, when there are big ticket items, I ask them to pray for me. It involves pleading. It involves calling. We have to plead. We have to ask God to be with us. What are the results? What are some of the results have been able to get so far? One of the big promises of this seeking, the one thing we know is that if we seek, he will be found. If we literally seek, he will be found. This is not what I'm telling you. This is what the word says. This is the great promise. If you seek him, in Chronicles, if you seek him, he will be found. If you seek him, he will be found. This is the great promise. This is the great reward. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he will reward those who seek him. God himself is our great reward. There's nothing at the end. There's not more. At the end, this will be the great reward, that we will have him. And when we have him, we will have everything, isn't it? But the time is now. It's a challenge, isn't it? Because very often we forget about it. He said, in Isaiah, the prophet says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Seek him, and he will have mercy on you. And then there is this abundance of forgiveness. Seek him. We are asked to seek him. We are asked to return. Not only to go out and seek, but to return. And in the idea of returning, there is that thought that we've left him. That's why we are called upon returning. Returning to him. And when we return to him, we'll get to know him more. We don't know. We really do not know. The more I look into the word, the more I kind of dwell upon the word and spend time praying. This has been a little bit my experience. The more I want to read, the more I want to pray, the more I want to spend time. And if I don't feel like it, I would call my friend and say, would you like to pray with me? I need to be prayed with. And very often, I notice when I start praying, an hour goes by, and then I didn't notice the time. But it takes time. We'll get to know him better. We are asked to dwell on these thoughts. We are asked, and in Chronicles, again, this is the passages that I've been reading. Chronicles was written to a people who had made a covenant with God. And it says, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. When things go well or things are not going so well, we need to continue. And for me, this is the part where I can share with you a little bit my experience. I mentioned to you my parents. And this is what I've witnessed. Earlier, Steve mentioned about his background in terms of the Catholic Church. And then Bonnie was mentioning about her experience being in the Protestant Church. My background, for a long period of time, I was Anglican. And this is what I watch. I think I've shared this with you before. My mom only went to school up to grade 3. She didn't have a PhD. She read only one book, and that was the Bible. She never read any other story. She read it when I was a child, and growing up, I stayed for more than almost 20, 23 years at home. This is what I saw. Every single morning, when the kids were still sleeping, I came from a very large family. My mom would get up, make herself a cup of tea, and the first thing that she would do is read the Bible and pray. I saw that every single day for almost 25 years. And I saw the same thing of my dad. I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but when my mom passed away, she passed away in 2006. She passed away on a Sunday morning. I was here in Canada. And this is what was told to me. Both my sister and my brother had left for church. She passed away when she was 87. Probably that day, she was either too weak, but on that day, she didn't go to church. And this is what they saw when they came. She was sitting on a chair. The Bible was open. And for all the people who knew her, they said that was the best way for her to pass away. She spent her whole life praying. And she walked into God's presence, praying. I saw her praying not only in the morning, but often throughout the day. She was constantly reading, conversing, talking to God. When I came to Canada, every conversation that I had with her, it always sounded boring. Really boring, because she said to me, keep trusting. Keep trusting. Pray to the one, the God who knows everything, the God who knows all. Keep trusting. My dad was the same. As a child, I shared this with you. I felt lazy. But I remember he coming to bed, and very often he would also have a cup of tea, and maybe by trying to convince me, she'd ask me to taste a little bit, one sip of the tea, and then she'll pull me away. 6 o'clock in the morning, I don't know about you, but 6 o'clock in the morning, for someone who's 3 or 4 or even 5, I didn't feel like getting up. But she would carry me by the hand, and we would sit and pray. Two more experiences I would like to share with you. I noticed that every project that I was involved and I didn't commit to God, I didn't see God's face on every single project, I failed. If you are a little bit younger than me this morning, and there's a lot of you here, this is my encouragement to you. If really you want to fail, then do not commit. Do not seek God's face on these projects, because this has been my experience. And another experience I would share with you in terms of the effect. Over the last couple of years, I was struggling with sin. It was not something major, but I thought that was sin. That was not the right thing to do. So I said to myself, I need to deal with it. You know what I did? I started to read books, all type of books. I started to go on the internet to find, you know, how do I deal with this? I spent a lot of time doing this. I was not able. The moment I start to just seek God's face, just spending time with God, I didn't even, to be honest with you, I didn't even confess about it. The moment I start to just pray, read the word, and converse with God, I can't remember when it went away. It had no grip on me. And this is my experience. And that's my testimony to you. This is my witnessing to you. I don't know your situation here this morning. It could be a sin that you've been struggling for a long time. And you're talking to people, how do I do this? For me, it is simply about spending time with God. And then you're going to find the grip that sins have on you is no more. Now, after this, you say, well, this is very difficult, isn't it? I have to read. I have to spend time with my friends. I have to go get two friends and pray with them on a continuous basis. I should not do any mental coasting. This is hard work, isn't it? It is hard work. But let me share with you another part of that story. We talked earlier on about how most of the Bible is about the stories of people just like you and me who've gone out to see God. And these people are this crowd of witnesses who are here this morning listening to us. But there's another part of this. The biggest part of this is the story of God seeking after your heart. It is not only about me seeking him. Before I started that journey, he was there after my heart, seeking me out. And I'm going to summarize by this reading by Henry Nouwen. When he starts to consider about seeking God. And this is what he writes. For most of my life, I have struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I have tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life. Pray always, work with others, read the scriptures, and to avoid the many temptations that dissipate me. I have failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. Now I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time, God has been trying to find me, to know me, to love me. The question is not, how am I to find God? But how am I to let myself be found by him? The question is not how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is not how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me, and longing to bring me home. Trying to find you, and longing to bring you home. And really, here is the paradox. The Bible presents the image of a God who wants to be found, the God that wants to draw near to us if we draw near to him. He is the God who stands at the door and knocks and is prepared to come in and eat with anyone who opens the door. We are called to seek the God. We are called to seek God. And the God who wants to be found. This should be a goal this Lent. To intentionally seek the God who passionately is seeking after us, who is seeking after you, who is seeking after me. How do we create that space in a busy schedule to meet with God every day and take the time to listen? I normally get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I say normally at 5:30 in the morning, I have the time to spend time with God. But this has been my experience. If I say I'm going to get up at 5:30 in the morning and pray, even if I have set that time, I notice I just pushed the snooze button and then I went back to sleep. I don't pray. And this is what I've done for the last little while. I have set my clock at 2 o'clock in the morning. And what I do is that, and I'm just sharing this with you, for me this is what works. At 2 o'clock in the morning I get up and I do only one thing. I read the word and I pray. And then I went back to sleep. And at 5:30 when the alarm goes off again, I can push the snooze button. It works. Thank you this morning.